It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world, with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week.
Oh, we know what's going on this week. It's Tuesday, March 9th. It's 2021. Pandemic continues.
So
it is Brady Wright, Ron Foreman, Steve Johann. We are your hosts and producer. And this, of course, is the 178th episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I can't believe we have done this many. We're on iTunes, iHeart Podcast, Spotify, Podomatic, you name it. If there's any place where you get your podcasts, we are there. As well as some of the new social media sites, MeWe, Parler, Cloud Hub, Gab.
We're everywhere.
We're everywhere. we do thank you, though, for liking and following our pages and our Facebook stuff. And if you want to share the show, please go ahead. We love that. Right now, our first segment is back to the black top as usual. Steve has cool stuff about the automotive industry. What do you got this week?
Well, the numbers are in for 2020. And no, not the number of bee sting deaths, but the number of auto-related deaths. Unfortunately, despite the less than normal miles being driven in 2020, the U.S. saw a rise in deaths to the point of, well, hadn't been higher since 2007. Preliminary data indicates as many as 42,060 Americans died in motor vehicle crashes this last year. That's an 8% jump over 2019. The biggest year-over-year jump since 1924. And, you know, I was reading the statistics on this, and I began to wonder if a portion of these deaths weren't attributed to younger drivers, as in teenagers who were denied their ability to participate in major life milestones, such as high school graduation and school sports and all that. And maybe they were rebelling and doing a lot of racing, because I hear a lot of that in my neighborhood. But actually, it doesn't necessarily show that. It just says it's an overall, all ages, of deaths on the road. They haven't really nailed down why. Other than maybe my wife, I was telling my wife this before the show, and she said, well, Steve, maybe it has something to do with the fact that there has been less people out on the road. Consequently, the people out there are just driving faster. So that may be.
I think I heard something about that.
Yeah,
traffic speed limits are not keeping people slow. They've got people going 120 miles an hour down the freeway on I-5.
Yep.
You know, I haven't noticed any of that because I've been going by too fast.
Oh, okay.
That's
so
just,
you passed the guy.
Yes. Well, I'm just thinking out of the top of our heads that that may be the factor. And, you know, when our government gets to be the way it is today, people say, hey, if that's the way you're going to be, I'm going to be my way, which is to heck with the law. We're going to do it our way. Well, this past week saw SEMA filing an amicus brief in a lawsuit between the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and Gearbox Z Incorporated. It was arguing that against the EPA's contention that the Clean Air Act, CAA, does not allow a motor vehicles to be converted into racing vehicles used solely for competition. In the lawsuit, the EPA asserts that once a vehicle has been certified as a street vehicle, it cannot be converted into a racing vehicle, even if that vehicle is trailered to the track and is never driven on the public roads. And here's the twist. The current ruling of EPA seems to contradict the past ruling, which were they didn't really care. They had no interest in vehicles that began their existence as normal EPA-certified production vehicles used on public roads and then were permanently converted to sanctioned competition-use-only vehicles. So the question I have is, if you have a street car and you wish to make it a race car, who would know? And does the track say you can't? How does the EPA know? If you have a street car that is now used for drag racing. So I don't understand the ruling other than maybe it's.
I suspect it's vehicle numbers. If they're going to do a safety inspection, they're going to check your car.
Oh, yes.
You know, I mean, there's a way for them to know. My whole question is, what's the difference? Why does the EPA have anything to do with
yes, it doesn't say.
And how, you know, most people who get into the business of racing for fun start off with a street car that they modify. I mean, Ron's done it. You take your car to the track.
I raced my car. All I had to do is make sure that the battery's tied down and there's catch for the antifreeze and a seatbelt. I didn't even have to have a roll bar. Just
and the difference, just I think, fun. Is that your car is a street vehicle that you sometimes race.
Yeah.
But a car that's going to be a primary race vehicle, what they're saying is they don't want that to have started out as a street car.
Right.
I don't know why that matters.
I don't know why either.
What the deal there is. But I'm glad that they're doing a lawsuit because what they're looking for is clarification. This is all about the people that are involved in SEMA should be really upset about this because that's their livelihood.
Well, it is. It is. Can you imagine the hundreds and hundreds of products that are sold for aftermarket?
Man.
Oh, my gosh. So it is, like you said.
There's a tax involved here someplace.
I think so. And like you said, it's to clarify, and that is the most important thing here. Well, their battle for mail truck makers is heating up. As news just came out that U.S. Postal Service has awarded a 10-year contract to Oshkosh Defense to produce their next-generation mail truck. Keep in mind, they haven't changed the model in 30 years. Well, under the terms of the deal, the tactical military vehicle maker will get $482 million to complete the production design of a delivery vehicle. The agreement also provides Oshkosh funds to pay for tooling and factory configuration needed for launching the production. Well, the design will allow for the vehicles to be equipped with either an internal combustion engine or battery electric powertrain. Oshkosh will assemble 50,000 to 165,000 mail trucks over the next 10 years. Now,
our mail carrier uses their Subaru because it's four-wheel drive.
Yep.
The steering's on the right.
Yep.
And the pedals are on the right. But they use their Subaru to deliver mail out here in Gold Bar. I mean, Oshkosh doesn't have a vehicle for them to use out here.
No,
and carriers do the same thing.
A lot of them do, but still, it's 50 to 165,000 new trucks. But the competitor, electric truck manufacturer Workhorse Group out of Ohio, said it is not content to lose the bid and is exploring ways to challenge the bid, stating the incoming administration may favor them over Oshkosh. So we will see if that's really the case. But the fact is, it's been three decades, 30 years since the old ones have been, you know, they keep making them.
Yeah.
Well, this is like I've seen models, pictures of what could be, but we don't know. But here it is, a military defense contractor gets the contract. Interesting how that works.
Humvee mail truck.
Yes, exactly. And then
most of them look like Jeeps anyway. A lot of them are old Jeeps or converted Jeeps.
Last but not least, Hemming's car of the day for me is a white 1973 Pontiac Firebird Formula 400, originally owned by only three owners with only 54,000 miles on it. Asking price is $34,000, and it's an original, beautiful-looking machine. It's just wonderful.
That's a mail truck?
No, I'm just telling – God, it's a Hemming's car of the day.
I lost something.
No, I said this week the Hemmings car that I found.
Oh, okay.
Yes, is a 73 Pontiac Formula 400.
For some reason. Cool.
Because my phone alarm was going off.
Oh, that's what it was, Brady. I was wondering.
I was hearing something.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We're glad you came with us.
Yep.
Coming up on the Windshield View, we're going to chat with Jeff Mason from the Piston Academy. Oh, this is very cool. All of that and more on Horsepower Chrome and Rust. Don't go away.
Stick around.
D&L Restoration, a family-owned shop, is looking to add a talented, motivated body technician. If you're tired of working for an organization where good enough is good enough and feel you have more to offer, then D&L may be a great fit for you. The ideal candidate will have a solid foundation in automotive refinishing and be relentless in the pursuit of show-quality bodywork, panel alignment, and panel fit. For the list of qualifications and to apply, go to RestoreYourCar.com. That's RestoreYourCar.com.
This is Jerry Heasley, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest show I've been on in at least the last year.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Attention, men. men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, "I'm a catch," more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Horsepower Chrome and Rust is back. First half of Windshield View. This week, we welcome Jeff Mason from Piston Foundation. Welcome, Jeff, to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Hey, how are you, Jeff?
Hi,
Jeff.
Great. How are you?
We're pretty good.
We're good.
This, by the way, this is as professional as it gets. It's pretty casual stuff here.
Yep.
So where have we hooked up with you tonight?
I am talking to you from Denver, Colorado.
Nice. The Mile High. I've had friends that grew up in Denver, and I've been to the city many times. Beautiful place. I got lost in Arvada one time for about 3 hours because I couldn't find a road that went through. I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
You know the misery.
Anybody out here would tell you, if you get lost, just look for the mountains. That's west.
Yeah. Well, see, that works. But see, I'm from Seattle, and we got mountains on both sides, so it's useless. Yeah. I don't know which way.
Yeah, you're really mixed up at that point if you're looking for on the eastern side.
It's worse when you go to Salt Lake City because the mountains are on the east, and then I'm totally screwed up.
Yep.
So tell us about Piston Foundation. What's the background there?
So the Piston Foundation is looking to solve the big problem of getting young people into automotive service and really into the collector car restoration world. There's a big problem there with a lot of the master craftsmen are getting older and retiring, and they don't have apprentices coming in behind them to transfer those skills to. And so, you know, when they retire, their skills retire with them.
Yeah.
So the Piston Foundation is kind of working on two fronts. One, to help students bridge from high school to maybe a trade school. Maybe it's a 2-year, maybe it's a 4-year trade school that gets them started in auto service. And then we're creating a hands-on apprenticeship program that will be placed in restoration shops around the country for them to take that next step. So if you were an auto technician, did a few years at a shop or at a dealership, but you know, collector cars were really what you were interested in, and you wanted to learn, you know, body work and coach work and, you know, machining and paint and all of that, you could take the leap to the Piston Academy, which will be that hands-on apprenticeship program, which will be multi-year. And, you know, you would come out of that with a certificate of those skills and then be able to, you know, find a job either at that shop that you interned at or, you know, at a shop around the country. So really trying to bring youth into that part of the automotive world.
The Hot Rod Hall of Fame here in Washington State, they have a similar program with the scholarship program for kids in the local community colleges. And they do similar things, but it's mostly like, you know, Subarus, Toyotas, things like that. This is more directed toward the collector car, which is really pretty cool. That's really awesome and commendable of you.
Thanks. You know, there's a lot of great small programs around the country. What the Piston Foundation is doing is trying to be a national organization to tie all that together.
That's cool.
There's great things happening, but they just don't have enough support because there's no real easy path for some of the, you know, large aftermarket companies to make a corporate contribution that gets down to that grassroots level. So we're trying to be that piece that's missing between you know, the corporate partners, the companies that are creating products for the car enthusiasts of all kinds, and all those local programs, museums, all of those types of grassroots entities. We're going to try and make that be that piece between, as well as develop our own programs and scholarships.
It's really
so
cool.
When you say scholarships, let me ask you a question, because I've got a background in the trade school business. Mm-hmm. I spent about 14 years training people to get into the broadcast business. So it was a career school, a Voc Tech, if you will.
Yep.
And I know you're familiar with the whole financing thing, the Pell Grants and the, you know, student loans and all of that. Are you guys at that? I don't want to say at that level, because clearly you are, but I mean, you have access to financing, funding, and that sort of thing for your students. Is it a program, or are you the over organization that arranges the different programs?
No, so we'll be providing funds directly to students to fund their educations. And, you know, the other thing, besides that, taking that national position and being that bridge, the other thing the Piston Foundation is doing that is very different is we're not hanging our fundraising on high net worth individuals or corporate sponsors.
Right.
We believe that, well, there are 25 million car enthusiasts in the U.S. They are the only group involved in this that have the scale to actually solve the problem.
Right.
So
right.
That's who we're looking to engage in this as members and donors. So, you know, $5, $25, $50 donations across this whole group of people that all have a vested interest in sustaining the, you know, car culture. That's who we're looking to engage. Certainly, you know, there will be, we'll have corporate sponsors, we'll have partners who can make significant contributions, but they won't be the bulk of it. It's really, you know, us, people like us, everyday car enthusiasts, who are willing to make a commitment to see that next young person get a chance to enter the trade.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And of course, doing it that way, it opens everything up for everybody to be involved, right? It's not,
yeah,
this isn't about getting another mechanic for, you know, $1 million Ferraris. You know, collector cars are cars in the 90s now, right? So
yeah, 30 you know, years old is a classic, and that's, you know, 91. That's a little frightening, actually, but
yeah, that's right.
So, I know what you mean. You have said a couple of times the phrase collector cars. So that's, you're really concentrating on those, I want to say high value, not necessarily high dollar vehicles. And I'm assuming that the level of ability, mechanical work and, you know, finesse that you're talking about developing the skills for is in that particular arena. It's not, you guys aren't building rat rods. It's not what that's about, right?
That is what it, that's kind of the conception of it right now. And certainly we are looking to give any mechanic who wants to go to that level of craftsmanship a path to get there.
Sure.
But I mean, any of those people who, anyone involved in, you know, custom builds and restoration, you know, these are people with creative skills in many avenues. So, you know, an apprentice that came through our restoration academy might very well go off and, you know, start their own custom shop, might even start their own rat rod shop. They might start doing EV conversions of, you know, 1930s cars. You know, who knows what they're going to do. What we want to do is make sure that we retain the craftsmanship, these skills right. that are at risk of being lost, and then, you know, give a new generation of mechanics who are in that industry, so that industry can sustain themselves. But where they're going to go after that, who knows? I mean, there's so much change coming, and, you know, people with those kinds of skills are going to be part of that change. Just like, you know, the kid just out of trade school doing his first couple years at the dealership is going to be part of that change too, right?
Yeah, and that's pretty exciting, because I know that, I mean, I've been around for a little while, and I've seen people who I remember from dealership X who have, you know, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years later, have worked themselves through to a level of skill where they are opening their own shops and they are doing things. Yep. And they're having that, you know, that I guess, classical background. They know how to fix in general. They know how to fab. They know how to, you know, do the sort of work, the electrical, whatever it is. But that's the basis of being able to create at a custom level and a collector level. I think that's fascinating. And I got to ask you, how did you decide to come up with the idea for doing this? Because it's kind of a specialized piece in the business.
You know, I would like to
I can't take credit for that.
I was just going to say, you know, we're really close to our break, and I would really like to pick that up on the other side. So why don't we hang on, hold on to that thought, and we're going to be right back.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You just might love the Rad Bastards. We're a family-oriented, nonprofit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough. Real steel and iron, old school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other build, and cruise like crazy, because that's what car clubs are supposed to do. The Rad Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Join us at cruise-ins all over the Puget Sound and on the Rad Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't, it's too heavy!
Oh my God! Ah.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us, we're over here!
Justin! OMG! I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information, contact YouGottaBelieve at YouGottaBelieve.org.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
Yes, we are back for the second half of the Windshield View on Horsepower Chrome and Rust. And our conversation with Jeff Mason continues. So we were on the other side, and I was asked, we were just talking about, Brady, you had a conversation you were having with him, and I broke in.
We talked about how, you know, you kind of got the idea for this, but I really am interested in what Piston Foundation sort of, what was the genesis for the whole concept? Because it's really ambitious and kind of aggressive, but it's not something that you'd normally would. I mean, there's lots of mechanical apprenticeships and sorts of things out there, but this is a little bit more specialized. And I'm just kind of listening for the genesis of the idea.
Right. Well, I can't take credit for it. I came into the Piston Foundation about 6 months ago, and it was started. The kernel of the idea was begun a year earlier by Robert Minnick. He's the CEO of the foundation. Okay. And, Robert is a longtime car guy. In fact, if you visit pistonfoundation.org and go to our blog posts, you'll see a great series about all the cars that Robert has owned. So he's just a car guy, dyed in the wool. And he was looking around and recognizing primarily that very little money from the aftermarket industry and all of that, everybody that falls under SEMA, very little of that money actually gets back down to the grassroots level. It's an astonishingly small amount of money. And when he looked at what was happening in the collector car world, and you know, a world that he was attached to with the restoration shops and talking to friends and understanding you know, the problems that they were having, and looking at this trickle of funds coming out of the industry, he sort of just put two and two together and says, you know, there's a gap here. There's no shortage of interest or money within the industry or within the community of car enthusiasts, there just is nothing connecting these two pieces. And so the Piston Foundation was born out of the recognition of that gap, and that's the gap we're trying to close.
Have you ever thought about approaching SEMA and setting up there as a nonprofit? Yeah. And promoting your the Piston Foundation there?
Yep, we are building towards that. You know, when you're starting a foundation, it's all about building those relationships, and we're just piecing those things together one by one. We've started kind of close to home with the collector car community that we're well connected with, and really getting everybody engaged, and that's been our focus. And once we've got that work done, we're going to turn our eyes towards corporate partners. Right. And event partners. And so that's coming at the tail end of this year, and looking to be ready to take scholarship applications in early 2022.
So I've been building cars Baffinon for the last, since I was a little kid, but networking is a lot of the hard work that you need to do, is find out where you can find the parts that you need and who you can get the information for the little hot rod tricks that are out there.
Right.
So that's part of that also. And I'd be willing to help anybody that asks, or if I see a need, I'll provide that with someone like a youngster that's trying to build a car or needs a tool or whatever. I've always been there as our car club is.
Well,
we're geared toward the young people in our car club.
One of the things I was going to ask you is I've met with people who have fab shops and do custom work, and they are always looking for new blood to come in. And it is a challenge for them. They put the ads out. They can't find anybody qualified because the other shops are already using them. And then you have, like you were saying, like the Makos and all this, which is just panels and paint. They're not doing the real body work. And so how do you go in and find the young people that are in high school, for instance, because a lot of the high schools have stopped. They've quit doing their Votec schools. Now we have a snow aisle up here in this neck of the woods, which does have some body work. So you might want to do like the Votec schools and work with them and say, hey, we'll take them to the next level, which is to bring them into the actual shops. We will give them, and you were telling me, Jeff, that one of the things you're going to offer is a scholarship. So a shop could bring this kid in or a young person, and they could be working under them, and you would offset the costs there to do that. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's through the Piston Academy, and that's the apprenticeship program. And one of the challenges for a restoration shop is to offset the billing cost for an apprentice, because if they're bringing an apprentice in, they won't be able to bill that person out at the full shop rate. And so there's a gap between what they're going to invest in that person and what they can charge, and it's a barrier for them. So what we're looking to do is the foundation within the academy, when we place an apprentice at a shop, we're going to provide some matching money to lift that salary so that the shop is not bearing the full cost.
Right.
That's
really cool.
Yeah. So the apprentice the shop might be able to pay them a living wage, housing and food costs might be, not covered by that. So
we're
looking at over the top of $50,000
a tools year. And things like that.
It could be tools. It's all that. It's just that gap funding that makes that work and lets that apprentice be at the shop, lets the shop invest in them with the time, because that's really what we're talking about. And that's ultimately, they sell their expertise, but they're billing for their time. So
really cool.
We used to call that brain hours.
Right.
How many brain hours are you willing to invest in making this person, a viable product, essentially, for your business?
That's really exactly it.
Well, and so I would think that there's like 1,000 fab shops. Let's just say 1,000 fab shops in the United States. They don't even network together. And that's something you and I were talking about. So there's that aspect of getting that commodity. And then we know that a lot of the aftermarket parts companies and automotive-related companies, they raise money for this cancer, that thing, this thing, that thing, but it doesn't go back into the actual industry. And so that's what you're going to be playing, is saying, look, you can funnel it all into us, and we push it out to all the schools, to all that. So I love the idea. That's why we're on. Why
it's
we
really
have
cool
you on
idea.
Here.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have every single element of this worked out because, you know, we're still in we have a big idea that we know how to execute. We've got advocates and supporters that are, you know, building this with us. And there's going to be some things that we'll have to figure out, you know, what's the best way to execute it.
When did you guys start, if you don't mind me asking, when did the foundation start with your programs?
The foundation began at the beginning of 2020.
Okay.
Yeah, really at the beginning of 2020.
So that's really awesome.
That depends on networking so much like that. Here you are in the teeth of the pandemic. It's a lot of computer time, I'm sure, in Zoom meetings to make that work.
Do you mind if
I ask? So doing something like this is a pretty ambitious project, and certainly you have to have some background. Give me some idea of the background. I mean, not you and the team and everything. I mean, how did you guys decide, okay, we know enough to invest our brain power in this?
Right. Yeah, it's a great question. Who's either audacious enough or foolish enough to take this on? Robert Minnick, he has been successful with a consulting firm in the aftermarket world. So he's lived and breathed the auto industry, you know, in that SEMA world for the last 25 years. And it's really his expertise of that world that, you know, led him to this idea. He's got an interesting backstory. Have you ever bought like a warranty or like a service contract for some kind of electronics thing that you bought? Like that little card at the counter?
I've shopped at Best Buy, say no more.
Sure.
That's Robert's invention.
Got it.
Oh, okay.
He's the guy who did that.
He's making money,
Turned warranties into just a barcode you scan and sign up for. That's Robert's. He was dealing with auto service contracts, or, you know, those aftermarket warranty. Right. So that's Robert's world. I actually come out of the advertising and marketing world. I've run my own design studio for the last 25 years and have worked on a lot of clients on really like product development and product marketing. So I was brought in as chief operating officer to kind of put all of these pieces together, get the mechanics working, build us a platform that we can do all this on.
Cool.
And so I focus in on that, and I focus in on finding partners and developing media and all of those things.
Hope this works for you.
Yeah.
This media outlet helps plug this thing on, man. It's really cool. I really am excited about it. First I've heard of it, and it's really got me excited about it.
Well, thanks.
Really cool.
This is great. We're all cut from the same cloth. We're all car enthusiasts, you know, loving what the car industry is about, and loving what we grew up with and looking forward to what comes next.
That's the other aspect
we didn't talk about that I did kind of want to ask. Obviously the program, you know, it is there to increase and expand the hobby itself and people who are qualified to work on it. What kind of criteria do you look at for somebody who entered the program? I mean, I'm sure there's not an aptitude test, but you probably have some sort of level of basic skill or ability or desire. How does that actually manifest when you decide to take somebody on?
Yeah, I think at the outset, we're really looking for young people who have some aspirations to, you know, get to that spot where they can open their own shop, or they do have some aspirations to work on classics or collector cars. That at the outset, that's a very important criteria, because ultimately that's our goal. That's where we want to get people to. So there's going to be some of that. And so there'll be, you know, an interview process and a vetting process for students. If somebody wants to go and, you know, be a master mechanic at a dealership or run a service department, there's some paths that exist for that right now. That's not a road that is impossible to find.
No.
But, you know, if you really wanted to learn everything about, you know, building a car from the chassis up, that's a different story. And there aren't that many places you can go to do that. And so, you know, we're looking for those students. And, you know, as Steve mentioned, there's a you know, technical education has dropped off in high schools, but there is a really big movement in CTE, career and technical education, that has got just a groundswell going.
Nice.
Our data tells us that Generation Z, the next kids that are coming, very interested in career and technical education. They've been the driving force in the upswing of that in high schools across the country. And so that's kind of the wave we're going to try and latch on to, because they're the next. Millennials are, you know, may or may not make it into this
sure.
channel. But the next generation is definitely there, and you know, looks like they've got an interest in all of it.
Yeah, my son's
that's encouraging. As a marketing guy, it's nice to have your target sort of identified for you. I mean, you can look and say, this is where we really need to place the majority of our efforts. And obviously, you know, there's a 10, 20, 30 or 70 thing that you can do, but it's really encouraging to have your target sort of semi-identified up front, because you know where you're going to put your major efforts.
Well, I can tell you my...
The work that Hagerty does on their surveys, you know, they track those things and they, you know,
Well, my son is 17 and he is going to turn 18. He's a senior. He's in a Votech program, but it's through the school, Rotary. They're building a house. He's going into construction. And there are, and they had 50 kids sign up this last year. So it is now a groundswell to get into the trades, to get with our hands and work out there. So whether it's a trades or in the automotive, a lot of young men, people are going, I don't want this college. I want to go in and have a hands-on, let me get dirty. So I think there is a really good, powerful new movement for that. I think it's going to go well.
Hey, Jeff, we have just about 2 minutes left, and I wanted to make sure that we point people towards your website. It is pistonfoundation.org.
Correct.
And if we send, obviously, we're going to publish the links and everything, but if somebody goes there, just as a kind of a final question, what's the thing you want them to see most? What's the first and most important thing on your website?
I would make your way through the homepage, because we just really lay out, you know, the mission that we're working to achieve and how we're going to get there, who's involved, and what you can do about it. So it's a real simple story, and people can donate right on the website at a level that is, you know, right for them. You can sign up. If you're not ready to donate, then sign up for our newsletter, and you're going to get monthly updates on the programs as they develop. And, you know, whether you're interested in finding a career path for a son or a daughter that's, you know, coming up towards those decisions, or whether maybe interested yourself. I mean, you know, as the Academy gets going, it's not limited to high schoolers or.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much. It's been great having you on our show. We are going to get the word out. Actually, I think all of us here have some people we need to get in contact with you. So thanks, Jeff Mason, for being on. It's been great.
Thanks, guys.
You're listening to the greatest automotive information show in the known world, and a great hot rod story is coming up next that you can share with your friends. Up next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. D&L Restoration, a family-owned shop, is looking to add a talented, motivated body technician. If you're tired of working for an organization where good enough is good enough and feel you have more to offer, then D&L may be a great fit for you. The ideal candidate will have a solid foundation in automotive refinishing and be relentless in the pursuit of show-quality bodywork, panel alignment, and panel fit. For the list of qualifications and to apply, go to RestoreYourCar.com. That's RestoreYourCar.com.
This is Mark Mathot from Cartoons Magazine, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay, squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
Hey, it's time for Cars Confidential, and we're back with another story with Fenders, Fins, and Friends. What's up there this week, Brady?
Hey, and so, 213 pounds of love.
Oh.
I don't know. Now, I could say this could be about Lance, because it's one of his stories, but I don't want to make a comment like that.
No.
Lance couldn't possibly weigh that little. Maybe he could. I don't know. That's not me. Not for me to say. The story is called 213 pounds of love, and it goes like this. Every year, men and women spend days or perhaps weeks going through how to best express their love and their devotion to their mates. The day that is best utilized to express this, of course, is Valentine's Day. I'd like to take a few moments of your time to share with you what my wife's reaction might be when she receives, tomorrow as I write this, this year's expression of my deepest feelings for her. Awe. Some people feel that a simple card decorated with hearts is sufficient. Others spend large amounts of time and money acquiring or creating just the right expression of love. I fall into the latter category, and as you will learn, perhaps we'll set a new standard at the Lambert Home for the sincere communications of love. Lance doesn't believe in understating things.
No, he doesn't. He's always overstated.
Pretty high bar here. None of the standard gifts will do. Flowers, candy, a night on the town, flower petals leading to the bedroom, and some other stuff. No. This year is going to be special. This year's gift of love is tall and sturdy, able to both open and welcome, closed and protective. Also, according to the manufacturer, it weighs 213 pounds. Now, the key word here is manufacturer. 213 pounds. No, it is not a slightly overweight but still handsome soap opera star. Can't be Lance. It's, get ready, ladies, you're about to squeal with delight and envy, a new storage shed.
Oh!
Exactly. I can hear you.
300-pound gorilla.
Why couldn't I have been so lucky as to marry a guy like him? I'm sure those are the words that are coming out of your mouth right now. Can you imagine Mrs. Lambert's excitement?
What a lucky gal. What a lucky gal.
Yes, she learns rather than flowers that will soon reside in the yard waste bin or an expensive metal that will just add meal. Oh, an expensive meal that will add inches to her waistline. This will be the proud owner of the best storage shed that $400 can buy.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And the only storage shed that $400 can buy.
Yes.
She will care not that the wall.
That's a cheap storage shed.
As a tinfoil gum wrapper, she will not care that it takes only 3 hours to build. Means that, of course, it will take 2 or 3 days to screw all of the parts together. Longer if any trips to the beer cooler, emergency ward, or both are required. And upon completion, we will no longer need to have any more discussions concerning whether or not a lawnmower, or five discussions concerning where I even have a lawnmower or five bicycles belong in the garage. No, no, every bicycle that's taking up floor space, I don't ride a bike, we just have them for some reason, is less floor space for important garage stuff like old cars, old gas pumps, old pedal cars, old radios, old signs, old neon. Have you seen Lance's garage?
Yes. Unfortunately.
I'm surprised he can get a car in there.
There is no car in the garage.
So that's supposed to be a she shed?
It's a he shed. It's a he shed.
Well, the $400
the $400 shed, yeah, is that? Yeah, a $400 shed for her and the entire two-car garage for him. This is not going to go
well. What a lucky gal.
No longer will my car buddy's paths to the well-stocked refrigerator be impeded by having to climb over unused camping equipment, boxes of unknown relatives, photographs. Finally, yes, finally, the garage will be utilized for the intended purpose, unobstructed gatherings of car guys telling embellished stories, consuming healthy food, beer chips, beer, salsa, and beer, and sprawling upon furniture that in a previous life was a major portion of a 1958 Rambler station wagon's interior. I shudder with excitement in anticipation of her glee upon trying to open a large cardboard box that weighs 213 pounds. No doubt she will throw her arms around me and exclaim, "Oh, darling, how did you know that all I wanted for Valentine's Day is for you to have more room in the garage for your stuff?"
She's going to kick him in the ass. She's going to do.
In over 32 years, she has never called me darling. But I think that's about to change. I wonder what else she will call me. Well, this is a family show, Lance. So we can't speculate on what she might have called you the day of that fateful Valentine's Day. Bearing in mind that this book was written some years ago.
I've seen
Lance since the book was written. And
that's it? There's no follow-up?
Yeah, he doesn't have any obvious scars or amputations. He's not missing an eye. So I think, you know, maybe this went okay.
Yes.
I think he slept in that shed for about a month.
He may have slept in the shed.
The new doghouse.
A hammock in there.
I know that my lovely wife, Georgia, is a Greek extraction. And I like to buy her nice things for Valentine's Day. In fact, this year, I'm buying a lot of expensive stuff for her birthday and for Valentine's Day. But did I mention she's Greek? We're never more than about that far away from "This is Sparta!" You know, so there's a big hole in the backyard. I got to be real careful. I like to sleep in the house. You know?
Yes, you do.
I took my wife to Las Vegas for Valentine's Day, and her birthday's on Valentine's Day, so it was a double whammy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you do it right. I'm set for a year. Yep, you're set for a year. You get to sleep in the house for a whole year. That's very cool. Well, see, now, and she extracted a promise from me this year that we have to finish the Hudson.
All right.
So, wow. Which means we have to get the Hudson over here.
Yes.
But that's a whole other story.
Yes.
Wow.
Anytime you're ready, let me know.
We're almost there, I'm telling you.
All right.
The guys are coming with the last of people know that I moved recently. I'm now in Idaho. And the guys are coming with the last of my stuff tomorrow. So now I can spend the next couple of weeks getting stuff out, and then we're there. Hey,
cool.
I'm telling you, Lance Lambert writes great books. You can get them on Amazon. You can get them at the Vintage Vehicle Show website. Of course, we all know that. Your bookshelf wouldn't be complete without them, and our show wouldn't be complete without a story.
The Nathan Lipinski Weekly Trivia Question is up next, so put it in park and stick around. We'll be right back with 4 Horsepower Coleman Russ.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
We'll be back with more Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back. It's the Nathan Levinsky Weekly Automotive Trivia Question. And this week, wow, did we have some, we had a lot of people try on this one. It was kind of a cool question. We did get a winner, Terry Condellari. Terry Condellari of Reno, Nevada.
Right on.
Places. He said that the question was this, 1958 had some of the coolest car styling ever, but one other cool feature from Chrysler stood out amongst all of them. And Terry said, well, of course we know what it is. It was the night in 1958. It was Chrysler introduced the day and night rear view mirror.
Ooh.
So you could like put it down at lights and then the headlights didn't blind you. Chrysler, way to go, Iacocca.
Wow. I had never even thought about that. That is an amazing, you just take it for granted.
They're all like that now, but that's the thing. So, it was cool. Anyway, Terry Condellari won for this week. He's going to get his name on the 8x10 certificate for the incredibly cool horsepower chrome and rust barn find dust, which will be on the website. Steve is holding up the barn find dust can as we speak. There it is. And this week's question. This is going to be kind of a complicated one. 1965, it was a very good year. A landmark safety accessory was introduced in 1965. Not going to tell you what manufacturer, not going to tell you what car. 1965, this was a landmark safety accessory. If you know, you can send us an email and contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can go to the Facebook page and send us a Facebook Messenger or an Instagram or anything else. Throw a rock through the studio window, as we usually say. Pigeons are fine. Or you can just, yell really loud into the computer and we won't hear that at all. It's 1965 was a landmark safety accessory. If you know what it is, give us a call. And thanks to Nathan Lipinski for letting us use his name on the trivia question. We still reach over 1 million car enthusiasts every week. We're still in the top 10 of all the automotive podcasts on Podomatic. And we thank you for that because, you're the guys that listen and watch, and that's all cool. You can email the show, as I mentioned, at Horsepower Chrome and Rust. Contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can message us on Facebook. We're on MeWe and CloudHub and Gab and Parler and a bunch of the new ones, too. We do thank you for liking and following our Facebook page, and the website is getting rebuilt. Man, that's going to be exciting. Steve is going to be face down in the software for the next couple of weeks. Our archives, such as they are at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. You can find all of our shows there. We are on Spotify. We're on iTunes. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Stitcher. We're on TuneIn. We're on Player FM and Podbay and CastBox.
Pandora.
And a bunch of others. And what?
Pandora.
And Pandora, that's right. If you can't find us on at least one of them, you can't find us, and you're not trying real hard because we're out there. I want to thank Jeff Mason for dropping by this week. It was really cool to find out about Piston Academy. You can check out his website, pistonfoundation.org. Feedback and questions, of course, can be sent to our Facebook page because, you know, that's what we do when we have nothing else to do. Down to it. For Ron Foreman and Steve Johann, I'm still Brady Wright, saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor. Drive fast. Take risks. Cruise on by next week. We have another Horsepower Chrome and Rust coming for you, and we thank you.